Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Stone Guardian, Stone Guardian, Crystal Keeper, Crystal Keeper, Gym Lovers of Rock Town, Gym Lovers of Rock Town, welcome to Tales of Rock and Roll Band.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to There's a Rock for That. I am your host, Mary Brown, and I'm really excited to have you all join me today. This is going to be a really fun show. I have a very special guest. Most of you probably have heard of her. You may have read her books. You may use her tarot decks. You may even wear her jewelry. It's Janet Boyer, and today she's coming on. She has this wonderful ebook that actually, she's got a lot of wonderful books, but this one in particular is about crystal healing with tarot, and I thought this would be perfect because in the last couple months when we've done this show, I've had a few questions pop up about what crystal would you associate with what tarot card, and so who better to actually speak to that than somebody who wrote the book about it? And our crystal guest for the month, our featured crystal, is rose quartz. You can't get any better than that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring on our guest, Janet Boyer.
Hello, and it's so Janet, great to be with you.
It's so great to have you here today. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and us and sharing your wisdom with us today. And I have to tell you, I mentioned the book Crystal Healing with Tarot. You can get it on Amazon. I downloaded it on my Kindle. It is just a wonderful reference to just have like handy like that. And anything else people should know before we get into it too much of how to get a copy of it? I know you can get it on Amazon.
Yeah, you pretty much covered it. I don't know if it's at other places. I can't remember. But it's definitely on Amazon ebook. It's only $2.99. It's also in my book, Naked Tarot. But what I did was, in Naked Tarot is a very in-depth book on tarot cards, period. But we won't talk about that necessarily today. It's huge. Dax calls it my magnum opus, but I get associations for each tarot card, Disney card, aromatherapy, Sabian symbol, and I also did crystals. But the tricky part of that is, if you wanted to look up your crystal associations in Naked Tarot, you'd have to look up the actual card. So what I thought, would it be handy for people who are into crystal healing that would like just lists of the tarot cards and the crystals I associate with and why? And so that's why I put this little handy, ebook together so crystal healers can have something that's really easier to just access and, focus on the crystal aspects.
I love it, and it's so true. It's so great just to be able to have that handy-dandy little list, Because I love, the larger books with all the association and stuff, those are great, but you can't carry them in your pocket like you can on your phone with your Kindle app,
True,
Exactly. I got that. I looked through it, and I have to tell you, I really want to thank you for, it sounds funny, really putting some thought into it. You didn't just mimic the same things that we see. For example, our guest today is Rose Quartz, and I almost, when I get a deck that is a crystal-themed deck, or, there's a few of them out there, I almost automatically expect to see the Lover's card as Rose Quartz. And, I don't know if that comes from way back when Scott Cunningham, wrote that association in his book, right? People just copy it. But at the same time, the energy doesn't exactly fit the card when you really think about it. And
it doesn't.
So I was thrilled. I was thrilled. I was like, I think he chose blue tourmaline for the lover's card. If I'm correct in remembering that.
You did. That's what I mean. Blue tourmaline.
You did.
Right.
Yeah.
He chose. It's funny. It's so funny we're on the same wavelength. Yeah.
He
for those people
chose
who don't know.
Lover's court. Yeah.
Yes. Scott Cunningham, in his book Encyclopedia of Crystal, Gem, and Metal Magic, correlated to the major arcana a crystal, and he was teaching a divination system where, like, if you were asking, let's say, about a project, an art project or a book project you wanted to do, you'd put the 12 stones in, and then you would pick a stone, and the stone would, you know, correlate to a tarot card and things. And maybe because he was just sticking with the majors, only the lover's card amongst the major is really even close to love. But like you said, for those of us who really know tarot, know the lovers, love isn't a whole lot about it. I mean, there
right.
is commitment, but it's really
yeah.
not. Yeah, so that's why I chose blue tourmaline in my
yeah.
book for lovers, because indigo light, also called blue tourmaline, it promotes faithfulness and ethics and helps dissipate the blocked emotions, whereas Scott Cunningham associated, you know, the rose quartz with the lovers, calling it peace, happiness, and fidelity, and I'm like, no. But I can
mm-hmm.
understand for him wanting to do a really brief, you know, the 22 majors and assigning a stone. I can understand, I guess, for him pulling rose quartz. And plus, a lot of Scott's stuff was very pioneering. I mean, he, you know, this was before the glut of books on tarot cards or Wicca or, you know, animal totems or those kinds of healings, aromatherapy even and stuff. And so, you know, Scott's metal, you know, the crystal gem and metal magic was clear back in 1988. I mean, that's the year I graduated from high school. Yeah, so, I mean, we're talking over, you know, 30 years ago. So he was a pioneer. And so many, you know, stones and crystals have been discovered and studied by energetic healers, you know, since then. So that's why now, you know, when you consult, let's say, a Judy Hall book, you're hearing stones, you're like, what the hell is that? You know, and you don't know, you know, you've never heard about it, or you got to have to look it up, and it gets very complex. And so he was dealing with the basics, and I can understand him pulling on rose quartz for the lovers because of the love association. But, yeah, that is not, you know, the rose quartz is not a card I would pick for the lover's card itself, because for me, the lover's is more about choice. It is about commitment. And, you know, an arranged marriage, yes, but how many arranged marriages are full of love? Maybe love comes later, but it's probably not that passionate or intimate friendship type love. It's probably a different kind of love. And whereas, you know, we'll discuss more, you know, the heart chakra and rose quartz, that's a whole, what we're going to be talking about is a whole different ballgame, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and it's just that, you know, I'm like, she actually thought about it. That's great. She didn't just
You know what? Because with all of my associations and correspondences and even my tarot books, you know, I had over 100 tarot books, and it was almost like the universe would only allow me to read maybe 5. I'm serious. It was almost like my soul's path is totally about originality. And so unless I use something for a reference and ascribe it, it's totally original to me. So when I did the crystals, I didn't even look at anybody's associations. What I did is I went to crystal sources. I poured over different crystal Bibles, Judy Hall's work, Scott's to an extent, some of the Germans, Dr. Flora Petschig-Bohmer and Gisela Schreiber, Simon Lilly and Sue Lilly. I mean, all those people.
Lilies.
Over there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I cross-referenced them, and I looked them up. I even looked up, you know, their scientific properties and what have you, and just what I felt intuitively. And then I took the time to ascribe, you know, cards to them. Same way with I did with aromatherapy. I did Disney totems. I did animal totems, all that. None of that was, you know, somebody else's correlations or correspondences. I always start, and I think maybe that's what you're sensing from this. There is no rehash in my work. I refuse to rehash.
Yeah.
And I also thought it was important when I put it, but first to Naked Tarot, but then into the to the Crystal Healing with Tarot ebook, I thought it was important to give some reasons why. Because I could have just said, okay, Ace of Cups, Rose Quartz, you know, Lover's Blue Tourmaline. But I thought it was important to have a couple sentences to say why exactly. So for the Rose Quartz, you know, I put stimulates the ability to love. It comforts. It affords emotional protection. Enhances warm treatment of self and others. Supports sensitivity, forgiveness, and compassion. And so, see, we can look at 4 or 5 tarot cards just in those comments. And so then a person can go further to say, okay, well, what if I'm having an issue brought up by a different tarot card, let's say Three of Swords, Heartbreak, or Feeling Rejection, and then, you know, you can use the Rose Quartz, you know, as a remedy, as an amelioration for the heart.
Yeah, yeah, and I love that idea. That's kind of how I work with it, because it's sort of like, okay, you know, I look at it in a real simple way of like, you know, okay, now I don't want to just sit with the problem, you know. A lot of times doing tarot readings, you know, it's like the problem is illustrated for us, and we're like, oh yeah, but you know, that's where the reader and the healer comes into play. Is like, okay, what do we do about it?
Exactly.
What do we do about it?
I'm a problem solver too. Yeah, that's why I'm not a fortune teller type reader, and I always say I'm not a fortune teller, because as far as I'm concerned, fortune telling, tarot reading, and even most of Lenormand, the way it's done now, is you're basically just stating the problem. And to me, that's like a waste of time. It's almost like I could just ask the person and I can get it. And I guess if you have a client that comes to you and says, okay, you read me blind, I guess somebody could do that. I don't read that way.
Yeah.
I'm more of a psychological goal-oriented or action-oriented or solution-oriented person. So it's like, I'm not going to waste time detailing what we already know. Let's get to how to get to the root of the problem. The root to the problem, to either solve it, to not repeat it, to ameliorate its effects, harmful effects, and the wisdom to not do it again, if it's, you know, within your power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and the other thing I like, so Ace of Cups, you associate in the book with Rose Quartz, and then Two of Cups, you associate with Star Rose Quartz, and I loved that because nobody ever talks about varieties of Rose Quartz, right? And so I think people tend to forget that, you know, it's not all the same. We see the variety in the way the stones look themselves. You can find really pale, you know, pink, sort of dusty pink Rose Quartz, and then you find others, and Star Rose Quartz is, I've never seen anybody associate that with a tarot card. And I thought associating it with the Two of Cups, man, it just gave this, like, magic. I got this, like, vibe, you know, like, woo, you know, excited.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, there's a subtle difference. There's a subtle difference because I feel like Rose Quartz generally is more for the self, in that it can stimulate your ability to love. It'll comfort. It can actually provide some emotional protection for you, especially if you're an empath or you have trouble with boundaries. Of course, you want other stones for that too, enhancing, you know, warm treatment. But when you start getting into the Star Rose Quartz, which is a rose quartz that looks like it has a star in it, I see that more as like in a two realm in others, in that it is more for intimacy and helpfulness, and it also helps, like, if you're trying to live together with someone in harmony, you know, the star tourmaline, I mean, the star rose quartz would be an extra boost for that. Of course, if all you have is rose quartz, that's great, too. But, you know, when it comes to something like the heart chakra and love and emotions, in my opinion, that is, like, the most complex realm in the tarot, and likewise, when you're dealing with crystals, which is a subtle energy, the little differences matter. So, for example, you know, Six of Coins, you know, I associate that with pink topaz. So we have yet another pink stone. And, of course, in a pinch, any of the pink stones will help support your heart chakra and emotions. But if you're looking for some of the more subtle aspects, you know, like a pink topaz for Six of Coins would help give you a sense of strong social commitment and a readiness to help others. So it's like the Salvation Army bell ringing and, you know, giving to charity and helping the less fortunate. So if, you know, you got a little bit of a Scrooge energy going on in terms of your four of coins,
yeah.
and you want to open it, you want to become more of a six of coins where you, you know, give what you have, then, you know, like a pink topaz would help with the social commitment and the readiness to help others. Same way with, like,
yeah.
let's say three of swords. While rose quartz can help, you know, feelings of betrayal and aloneness and rejection, you know, I ascribe it more to rhodonite. You know, so where it's more of, you know, a healing type thing as opposed to, let's say, protection or supporting. But again, this is all subtle. You know, this is all subtle
yeah.
type energies. And so anything that's pink will help support, you know, the heart chakra, and some would say any green stones as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, there it is an interesting thing, I think, when people are, you know, starting to get into this stuff. That's the first thing, I think, that caught my attention when I started studying the chakras. It was like green or pink. Those just seem like two very different colors. I like green or
yeah.
pink. Green or pink. Like, my head stuck
yeah.
on that for a while. I'm like, green or pink? That's like Izod Lacoste when I was in high school was green and pink. You know?
Yeah.
You know, remember this? I'm a couple years, I think. You said you graduated in 88. I graduated in 86.
Right.
And so it was just
okay.
like, you know.
Well, you know, some
Gen
people,
Xer.
Oh, yeah, I'm still a Gen Xer. I think it's Judy Hall. I'm not sure. But some
mm-hmm.
of the energetic and crystal healers say that the heart chakra has, there's actually two. There's an upper chakra and lower chakra. And,
yeah.
you know, to the heart. And so Judy Hall, I think it's Judy. I'm not sure. You know, I don't have everything in front of me. But I think she attributes, like, rose quartz and the pinker stones to what she considers the upper chakra. I mean, the upper heart and the lower heart she ascribes the green stones to. Yeah, it can be confusing. I mean, personally, I like all the rosy colors for the heart. But considering
yeah.
green is about growth and healing, I mean, you can't go wrong with a green stone usually.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
You know.
And I think it's, for me, it's always been like, especially with plants, and that's where I use the green stones, like green fluorite,
yeah.
you know, put it in the little pot with the plant, and
right.
I actually use that on the thymus, you know, or the higher heart chakra.
Well, that's funny you say that,
why.
Yeah, because, yeah, the thymus area, she would attribute to, you know, rose quartz and stuff for the upper, I remember
yeah.
her mentioning the thymus and some other things. So, see, it's because, or the area between the heart chakra and the throat chakra. Yeah, yeah, that would be thymus, come
yeah.
to think of it, yeah. And, you know, chakras, too, are very subtle. You
yeah.
know, we study them separately, but as energetic systems, they flow into one another, you know. And when you start
yeah.
getting in the thymus, you start getting in the throat chakra and the blue stones and things. But sometimes there's a connection. You know, sometimes if you're feeling the weight of the world or you're empathic, you can, you know, block your throat chakra.
Yeah.
The heart chakra is the bridge to the upper and lower. So if you don't have a good foundation and rooted system in the red, you know, with your root, and then
yeah.
you don't have your sense of control and power struggles, you know, and the ego, the orange, the second sacral chakra, and you don't have your strong self-esteem, your solar plexus, the yellow stones,
yeah.
and knowing who you are and being centered in that, a lot of times, you know, you have a hard time getting to that heart chakra. You know,
yeah.
sometimes that has to be balanced and stable, you know, before you can enter, let's say, into a relationship and open up your heart. You know, because if you don't
yeah.
have self-esteem and you try to enter a relationship, you're going to have some trouble.
Ooh.
You know, and
yeah.
so what happens if you have a wide open heart chakra? Think about it. You have a wide open heart chakra and then you don't have any scaffolding underneath. You know, you're basically, you know, a bullseye, you know, just waiting for
yeah.
to be wounded. You know, but same
it's
way,
like
too,
your heart,
what if
your heart chakra's on your sleeve at that point.
Yes, literally, right. And then, but, you know, the opposite can occur where you have very strong upper chakras. You know, you speak your truth. You're very creative with your throat chakra. You have a sense of vision with your third eye and a prophetic ability, and you can see the big picture. And you may even be getting messages from, you know, the heavens and the angel realm, you know, from your crown chakra. But if you don't have an open heart chakra and it's not grounded, you know, then you come off being perhaps as elitist, arrogant,
yeah.
you know, intellectual, or, you know, very Aquarius in the sense that, you know, you talk the right talk, but do you walk it in your personal life?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's where the heart chakra comes in. You can't fake the heart chakra. You know, the heart chakra
yeah.
is what you do and what you think and how you respond when no one's looking.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so for you, like, what was it that, you know, can you even remember, like, when rose quartz first came into your life? And what was that attraction?
You know, I really can't remember, but I think it was probably the one of the first stones I was attracted to. It was the blue stones that caught my eye early on, and then I realized probably because my throat chakra is usually one of my strongest. You know, the sodalites and the lapis lazuli, especially,
yeah.
you know, the really rich blue ones. And so it started from there, and then, you know, then the heart chakra, because the rose quartz, almost everybody knows that. I mean, I think if you say
yeah.
crystals to someone, they'll probably know that about a white quartz or clear quartz and the rose quartz and amethyst probably, you know, and citrine.
Yeah.
You know, those are some of the major ones.
True.
Right, and a lot of the heart chakra, the rose quartz stones were made into like tumbled hearts, and they were being
yeah.
worn as necklaces, and you know, and that's great to attract love and what have you. And so, I think for me it was more of an intellectual thing. Like I came across rose quartz, and that was one of the gateways to understanding and learning about crystals. It was probably 20 years ago or more, you know. And then I started like, okay,
yeah.
Why is rose quartz associated with the heart, you know, and matters of the heart? And,
yeah.
and it kind of like all overlapped, because when I was a New Age writer and things, I covered pretty much everything. So I was, you know, my knowledge was really wide, you know, whether it was animal totems or chakras or crystals, astrology, tarot, things like that. But some disciplines I ended up going more deeper with, obviously tarot being one of them. And so it probably just came to me more as, you know, across my desk as part of the things I wrote about. And then, you know, once I started writing Naked Tarot years ago, it came out in 2018, that's when I really started to study some of the subtleties and what have you of crystals. You know, they say if you want to learn something, teach it. And so same way with writing a book, especially if you're a type of writer like I am, where you don't regurgitate. You know, you go all the source material and you make your own systems or you make your own correlations. And then, you know, through osmosis and study, you learn it. And so I can't really say, you know, I got into crystals and all of a sudden I became a rock hound and a crystal expert. For me, it was
yeah.
more like a subtle thing that accompanied the rest of my New Age studies.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. Like for me, like it was like I grew up in Pennsylvania, right? You know, outside of Pittsburgh. And
wait a minute, I didn't know that. You know, I'm an hour south of Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, I didn't know you were that close to Pittsburgh, but no, I grew up
yeah.
in New Kensington area. I was in Westmoreland
oh,
County.
Gosh.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I know. That's actually where Ron's from, is Westmoreland County. That's where he used to work.
No way.
Yes, way, Greensburg. Yep, Greensburg.
Oh, my God.
Greensburg. Westmoreland. Yep.
Yeah, the county seat. The,
yep.
But it's
small world.
It was kind of funny. And I grew up on a farm, and I mean, I was always digging in the dirt. I was one of those kids that really thought, could I dig to China? You know, like, you know, I was like, into it. I'm going to try. And then, of course, you get tired, and, you know, and it never happens.
Where you think you're going to find treasure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, fossils. I was, like, convinced I'm going to find a fossil. I'm going to find a dinosaur.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere there's going to be a dinosaur. But, like, just, like, our property, I grew up on a farm, and part of our property, the boundary of it was right next to some of the land for the Alcoa Research Lab. And growing up, it's like, you know, I'd go and take a tour of Alcoa, and they would give you these little sample boxes of like bauxite, like all these little stones that, you know, lead to the making of, you know, foil or aluminum. basically, you know, and so I was always like really fascinated by it. And it wasn't until I got into the metaphysical stuff later that I learned that there were all these associations with stones, because otherwise I was just like, this is my lucky stone. This stone makes me feel better. But I didn't know that there were a bunch of people that had figured out why that is. And I didn't know it went back thousands and thousands of years that people were doing that. And so it was like, I don't know, sometimes, you know, it's like a huge gateway is open and all of a sudden the world around you is just full of meaning that you weren't aware of until you unlocked that door. You know, so it's kind of funny how all these things go together, and like all these correspondences are, you know, they're mind blowing sometimes. But rose quartz for me was, it was pretty. I have a few. It's something I give out a lot. Like when I do psychic fairs and stuff, everybody walks away with a crystal. And sometimes I have this little bag of all these different, or a basket of all these different colored stones, and just, you know, have somebody pick out something, and then we talk about that stone and like maybe why they need that stone right now. You know, why did they choose that one? But if I'm not doing that, then I'm handing out those little tiny rose quartz hearts. I'm like, here, use this.
Aww.
You know, however you feel to use it. Because, you know, the funny thing of when we talk about crystal healing, and I love that you were talking about the subtle aspect of it, because that is true. You know, that a lot of times we're talking about subtle energies. Now, we can have intense experiences with stones. We can have intense experiences with aromatherapy and all, you know, a lot of these different things. But ultimately, a lot of times I feel like we don't have to know a lot about a stone for it to have a positive impact on us or affect us in some way. It's just sometimes we don't notice it. But the thing with rose quartz, it's interesting. I had this really interesting experience. And I think what it is like, you can walk around with all this knowledge. And you can, you know, and as healers, I don't know if this happens to you. I don't know if it happened to other people. But sometimes we can be dealing with a crisis, especially if it's like a health crisis, like it was for me. And we aren't using our tools. We're not using all that knowledge that we know, you know. And I had found myself at a point where, you know, I was going to physical therapy and getting a lot of injections, you know, to try and heal from a car accident. And the whole process was really, really painful. And I think, you know, I spent the first 6 months of that just sort of focusing too much on the pain and wallowing in the pain and feeling terrible about it. And, you know, I would start crying before, you know, they put the needle in my back or in my leg or in my shoulder or in my neck. I mean, there were needles everywhere. But, and then one day it just dawned on me and I'm like, I'm making it worse. I'm making it worse. And I'm not using any of my tools. I'm not using any of my stones. I'm just upset. You know, I'm just constantly upset about being in pain all the time. And I started, I need something. And I just grabbed this rose quartz wand that I had before my doctor's appointment. And I went to the doctor's appointment and I held that during the entire process. And it was the first time I didn't cry during the injections. And
wow.
My healing process started. And so I kind of feel like, in a way, rose quartz almost like protected me from my own emotions, because it was my emotions that I was feeling and getting too caught up in, you know, my thought processes and everything that was making the whole experience 100 times worse than it had to be.
Now,
and
you know
so
what I think it was? I think you should give
what?
Yourself more credit. I think it was your attention and intention, because you had a revelation, I'm making this worse. And I was really curious. I was going to ask you, well, how were you making it worse? And then you went on to say how. And that's why I wrote another ebook called Affect Your Reality with Tarot Cards. And maybe I should change the title to Purposeful Tarot or something. But I talk about how to consciously use tarot cards to affect your life and change your circumstances. You know, and I mention how not enough tarot people are using them, using tarot consciously to really create their own reality or affect their reality or even heal themselves. And, yeah, so if anybody wants to check that out, it's called Affect Your Reality with Tarot Cards. And I feel it's the same way. See, the key to subtle healing, I totally agree with you what you said, that you don't have to know what a stone is for or the intricacies for it to heal you. But I feel that any time you intentionally invoke the energy of something and you put your focus on it and you know what it's good for and you believe it, then you magnify its healing properties. And I think that's what it did for you. Because if you think about it, you said you had a wand. Well, a wand is what the magician holds. And when the magician holds the wand, he is wielding power, and also notice that he's holding it up because he's saying, okay, I'm going to channel the energy of the heavens, you know, and I'm going to bring it down here to earth. And so the wand itself is a powerful symbol of, channeling power from the etheric realms or energetic realms and manifesting it into, the material and the physical realm. And so you had some major amplification, girl, because you had the wand symbol, you had the rose quartz, but most importantly, you had the intention and attention, and you focused it. And it was almost like you literally increased the bandwidth, increase the auric field of that wand and that rose quartz. And so, you know, of course the rose quartz itself was healing, but it was also your intention and your attention to it. And you're saying, okay, that's it. I'm taking the reins here. And sometimes we can't do that. There are sometimes we're just in pain or we're going through hell, and you could just bury somebody in the most beautiful stones and you can waver them at their band of the nose, and it's just unfortunately a sucky situation, and it's a damn shame, and I don't understand why sometimes in life, and I'm believing someday we'll have the answers. But, you know, there are times where, like you said, we forget our tools. You know, same way with aromatherapy. Like, I'm really getting back, you know, I've had my aromatherapy business for 2 years now, and I got myself a journal lately, and I'm breaking it all down, and I'm becoming, you know, more aware of the subtleties for that too, because I have like 100 oils and what have you, and it's so much more than just saying, oh, you know, bright citrus are good for cheerfulness and that, and the, you know, third chakra, I'll go ahead and, you know, just put in any kind of citrus. But then when you really study the individual stuff, and then you go back into like the sacred texts, whether it's the Bible or you know, in other Middle Eastern, you know, traditions or what have you, and you're like, oh my God, they were using this scents and this spice and this oils years ago, you know, and for different things, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Here we go, Christmas coming. And frankincense and myrrh are two oils that are magnificent. Frankincense is like, next to lavender, like one of the most healing, amazing, you know, essential oils. But, you know, again, it comes down to intention and attention and saying, okay, you know, thank you, frankincense, for this. I know you're good for this and these properties. And you use it and you magnify it. And so give yourself some credit, girl, on your own healing for that.
Well, I thank you. And it's a, you know, aromatherapy, I've got books on it and books I haven't read, you know, that are sitting around. But it's kind of a thing. It's so funny that you mentioned frankincense and myrrh because, I think, you know, there's the biblical, there's the, you know, the Christmas association, but that's like my standard. I always cleanse my space with it. And I close my space with it. And I just think of it as, I think of frankincense as like the Cadillac of scents.
It is. I mean, if you've got any skin issues, you know, including anti-aging properties, but also, you know, to help with healing and, sometimes it's good even for, like, massages, you know, some muscle tension and stuff. But Frank is just, not just smelling it, like whether you're putting it on pink Himalayan salts and putting it on a warmer, or you make a wax melt out of it, or even a roller bottle with fractionated coconut, or even make an inhaler. But, you know, just smelling it, it's amazing at what it can do, you know, and how you can use it. But again, it's, you know, there's that subtle thing, you know, and understanding the mechanism, how aromatherapy works, the crossing of the blood-brain barrier and things like that, helps to empower the person to use it too. It's like if you know some of what, of how it works, sometimes it increases your faith in it and your confidence in it and your intention. Because when you find out that aromatherapy is a science and it's just not New Age woo-woo, then you're like, oh, wow, you know. And when you find out, like, National Institute of Health and other places, you know, have done studies on it for cancer and other things with healing properties and what and tumor reduction and what have you, then you're like, oh, okay. Same way with crystals. They haven't, you know, done as much studies on that as, let's say, aromatherapy.
No.
But, you know, most anybody would acknowledge the piezoelectric qualities of quartz, and that's why it's in computers and watches and things like that, you know, and how it transfers and amplifies energy. And some people have done some studies in, you know, the scientific aspects, but like you said, though, you don't have to know how it works. Exact scientific, you don't have to know the scientific formula and, you know, what kind of stone it came from, you know, whether it's like a limestone composite or whatever. You don't need to know that. But just having the confidence and reading a little bit about it and understanding that, oh, my gosh, you know, there is a tradition here. And people have experienced enhanced, you know, increased well-being because of it. Then, you know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, this is more than just New Age wishful thinking here.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Judy Hall is one of my favorites. She's been a guest on this show, and you know, she is so great. You know, we were talking about, like, when I had her on, we were talking about amethyst, because I love the ancient history. I love, like, all the old lapidaries and, you know, the writings, what Pliny the Elder had to say, etc. You know,
right?
And she was just talking about, you know, this that journey of amethyst from, you know, that Greek myth to a bishop's ring, you know, and just how, you know, most people, it's like you don't need to know all of that stuff, but when you do look into it, sometimes that's where you have all these interesting, you know, revelations, you know, because it's like, oh, wait a minute, you can feel connected to it that way, even more so. And
it's almost like you hooked up to some kind of matrix, you know. It's like you hooked up to a historical matrix, a human matrix, a healing matrix, a scientific matrix, and then it almost like it pings other things. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. And then, you know, like you were saying, how rose quartz really opened up the world to you, and you're and understanding, wait, these rocks have properties, and things start looking different. And it's the same thing. The more you discover and the more you have that openness, the more things start to connect, and you're like, oh, my gosh, wait a minute. That's related to this.
Yeah.
It's related to this. And it's like, oh, it just becomes so exciting then.
It does. And I love doing that. And I feel like, in a way, maybe I do that a little bit with aromatherapy, because it's like there's some sense that just, I don't know, like the first time incense really caught my attention as something other than to cover up the weed smell, right, back in the day, you know, get some knot chakra going, the first time it really was when I encountered dragon's blood. Oh boy, I felt like my entire being was like just vibrating, like, what is that amazing thing, you know? It just like took me on this like trip, and like, so I kind of, like, dragon's blood is another one that it's especially, like, the one I can't get enough of ever. I can't get enough of it ever, and I need to, like, look into why that is, because it is kind of a strange sounding when I think about it. But I think, you know, maybe it is like crystals. Maybe if I learned more about dragon's blood, I would find those connections, too. Does it work that way, since you know so much about aromatherapy? Are we attracted to
I know nothing about things? Yes, absolutely we are. I don't know anything about dragon's blood, by the way. I have no idea what it is. I've never come across that, so now that's something for me to look at. But if you are interested in knowing more about, like, why you might be attracted to a sense and the spiritual subtleties and stuff, there's no better set of books, and you may even have one, than Valerie Worwood. Was it Healing the Heavens or some? She's got
four
of them. She has one, an encyclopedia of aromatherapy, Valerie Worwood. It's New World Library. I know that's who publishes her books. Scenting the Heavens or something. I can look it up. But her books are fantastic for the spiritual aspects. I have over a dozen aromatherapy books, and I relied heavily on her encyclopedias and work when I did the correlations for Naked Tarot. But her stuff is really, I mean, she's really into, you know, one book is a lot into the angelic realm. But she's scientific, too. Like, her encyclopedia stuff, it's all, you know, very science-based. It's not just like a woo-woo thing. Okay, yeah, she has the complete book of essential oils and aromatherapy is the big encyclopedia. But then she has, there's the Fragrant Heavens. They renamed a couple of her books. Like one, the Fragrant Mind, and I think they might have, and then there's Aromatherapy for the Soul, but they renamed a couple of them, so it's like you have to make sure you're not getting the same one. But if you go to Amazon or wherever and look up Valerie Ann Worwood, Worwood, any of her books like Aromatherapy for the Soul, the Fragrant Mind, which is more the psychological aspects of how it helps, but even her complete book of essential oils and aromatherapy, that's a really good foundational, you know, go-to book, like if you want to know the scientific and some of the spiritual combined. But, yeah, she's fantastic for that. So, yeah, Dragons, well, I have to look that up. I mean, I'm not really familiar with that at all. But, yeah, you can always do the reverse lookup thing, you know, where, like, Star 69 for the spirit, where, you look up, like, why am – well, actually, you know what? Come to think of it, I forgot about this. I can't remember which one of her books. I have, I think, everything she has. I don't know if it's The Fragrant Mind or Aromatherapy for the Soul, but one of them actually correlates human personalities to the different types of scents that you're drawn to and or traits that you exhibit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of like Enneagram, like loosely the Enneagram. I don't know if she comes out and calls them the Enneagram. Yeah, so there's like the Woodsies, the Resinies. I think there's the Citruses. And it's interesting, you can always look and say, which ones am I usually drawn to? And then you can look in depth at like all the psychological profiles and behaviors for that. And then also you can look up, you know, just by your personality, like, okay, I feel like my personality is this. And then you would know to add that more to your repertoire because it could be two different things. You know, what you're exhibiting may not necessarily be your core personality, you know, who you are, but instead what your experience because what you're going through. If that makes sense. It's kind of like same way with Bach, the Bach remedies, which is also another subtle healing, you know, where they float, you know, the different flowers in, in water, and then they make these, you know, these Bach flower remedies, which I also correlate in Naked Tarot. But it's the same thing, whereas they have different personality types, you know, that are supposedly core with the Bach flower essences. However, if you're going through different things, like trauma, you know, you'd go for rescue remedy or Star of Bethlehem or things like that.
Yeah.
But you can also do it with reverse. Same way with tarot. Any of these can work both ways. And that's why I'm a big proponent of using things consciously, whether it's tarot cards or crystals or aromatherapy or Bach flower, where you can actually intentionally, because then you magnify it, you know, instead of just randomly, I have a bag of 15 stones. I'm going to pick one to see what I need for the day. Or I'm going to shuffle and do my card of the day. Now, personally, I have never been a fan of that. I feel, by God, you look through the tarot deck face up and you pick the card you want to feel like. And, if you want to pick a card saying how you actually feel, okay, fine, do that. And if maybe you want to do a random card as the bridge, how you get from there to there, okay. But don't run your life through a random draw, and so many people do that, and I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, I remember years ago when I was first on the internet, I drew the devil was my tarot card for the day, what could this mean, and all these people are jumping in the bandwagon, all this negativity, and I'm like, holy shit, what a way to start the day, you know, and it's so unnecessary. It's like you just brought the devil into your life by focusing on him. Way to go.
Now your day is screwed.
And it's all your fault.
You did it to yourself. You have no one to blame. No, it is funny. You know, and I'm so, like, weird about that. Like, you know, when it comes to the card of the day, you know, I draw a card of the day, you know, for our listeners, they know I draw a card of the day every day for our Psychic Talk radio group. If you haven't joined that yet, go to psychictalk.net/Facebook. It'll take you right to it, like the page, join the group. But I do it exclusively with Oracle cards. I won't do it with tarot. I resent people doing it with tarot, and it's not like I'm extra precious about it, but maybe I am a little bit, you know, but I also feel like no. And Oracle cards to me, it's like, it's more fun and the artwork's interesting.
It's more like an affirmation. Yeah.
You know, and it's more like, hey, you know, maybe here's something to think about, not like you're going to deal with obstacles all day long. You know, like you know, I just feel like that's just not what tarot is for me, you know.
Agreed. We are so much alike.
So we're both Scorpios, you know.
Oh, that's
but
right. Oh, happy birthday.
Yes.
I missed it. Did I miss you? Sorry if I did.
Thank you. Did you have yours yet? I'm like, where's
the... Yes, I'm the big 5-0.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. You made it.
Yeah. Which is more than most women in the Middle Ages made it past. So I guess, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's exciting. That's some progress.
Exactly.
Oh, my. Yeah, I love doing the card of the day now, but I will not do it with tarot. And I won't even read those posts when people do it with tarot because I just don't even want to know.
Oh, it cringe. It really makes me cringe because I'm thinking, why? You know, you know, I've spoken about it, I've taught about it, and it's like it's like trying to, you know, that little was it a fairy tale or something about the little boy in the dike, and he's trying to put the fingers in it, keeps, you know, holes keep erupting and water keeps coming through the dam, and it's like, you know what, I'm gonna leave someone else to police and tell them that they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Someone else can be the tarot police.
I'm retired. There's got to be a new sheriff in town, and it ain't going to be me.
Exactly. But, you know, it's funny, though, but for me, you know, it's more like seeing tarot and life around me, that is something important. Like again, you know, I go back to that healing crisis I was in. And, you know, the first time I went to the chiropractor for that, he had me lay on the table in this position where my left leg was straight and my right leg was sort of bent. And I'm laying there on this table and I thought, I'm the hanged man. What you know, what is going on? I'm the hanged man. But it took me 2 years of doctor's appointments to get better, you know. And I had to really get back into meditation. I had to change my perspective. I had to just kind of deal with all the delays that caused. And I thought, okay. And from the moment that I thought that, laying on the table, it's like I was already like accepting because of that connection. And that made a difference.
I've been like that the last year. Well, pandemic is putting many of us on hangman.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, the cool thing about tarot, if you're married to another person who knows tarot, you use it as a shorthand.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, Tarana, I'm so hangman, you know, it's like... I'm a holding pattern, and he knew exactly what that meant. And but sometimes, you know, acknowledging where you are is like a first step of acceptance. Just like with sobriety, you got to admit you got a problem, and sometimes you have to admit where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely. Because otherwise, you know, you make it worse. you make it harder because you're fighting against something that, like, you do, you know, it's like you should be working with instead of fighting against. And that was the case for me in a lot of ways. But yeah, you know, I do think that once we start to see it in the world around us, then, you know, the power of it makes even more sense. You know, the way that tarot works makes more sense. The idea of, like, you know, here's this book of life. There's all these things mm-hmm. that you're going to experience in one form or another. And we're all going to go through that so we can do tarot readings for everybody, because we're all going to go through all of these things, you know, in one form or another.
Right.
You know, so I love that. And, you know, a lot of times I do find that with stones as well. You know, I find that a lot with stones as well, especially like when you just happen upon a stone or you go to somebody's house and maybe they're not, you know, really big into crystals. Maybe they're not a New Ager or something, but somehow invariably they have a certain stone, you know, like maybe it's a carving.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
It really always fascinates me. Like my boss in Los Angeles, you know, I'm in the living room of her house and I'm looking at an amethyst pyramid, and I'm like, huh, where'd you get that? You know,
mm-hmm.
what do you know about that?
Seeing you here.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And she's like, oh, I just thought it was pretty. And I'm like, yep. That's
mm-hmm.
how it happens, isn't it?
Hey, Mary, you know what? We have a question on Facebook. Is it okay if we go to that?
Yeah.
I have an answer ready. It's from Charlotte. Charlotte says, I'll throw a question in here in case you don't get the callers. She says, I have a lovely crystal business, and I'd love to have 1 to 3 crystals that would help me with my continued success. I'm a huge crystal lover, but there's so much to learn. I'm still on the steep learning curve. I'd love your input on which crystals would be best. Well, I have my 3, and I was wondering if I can share that, and then maybe you can give your two cents.
Okay.
Well, the first thing that I would recommend is Emperor. I'm going by my crystal healing with tarot. If you're into tarot, it's associated with the Emperor card. But the Fuchsite or Mica. And the reason why is because it helps promote a confident appearance. It helps us view problems from a distance. And so that helps great with problem solving, because sometimes if we get too close to our business or emotionally entangled, you know, it's hard to maybe make decisions or, you know, kind of separate ourselves. So the Fuchsite Mica will help that. It also aids, like with the Emperor, in setting boundaries. It also encourages mm-hmm. big picture thinking and finding solutions. So if you have any problems, you know, it'll help with problem solving, but it also will help with big picture thinking should you want to expand your business or diversify somehow. But it also is good for protection and self-determination. So those are things, too, that are really good to have when you're in business. Another one I would pick for you is yellow topaz, which is associated with Six of Wands. I associate with the Six of Wands in crystal healing with tarot. Six of Wands, if you're into tarot, you know that that's like the victory card, the guy's on the horse, and people are like, yay. Well, some of them are anyway. but it's often the victory card. And the reason why I picked yellow topaz, not only are the yellow stones, as I mentioned earlier in the show, good for the third chakra, which is solar plexus or self-esteem, it also helps us acknowledge and celebrate our achievements. And that's important to do in business, too, to keep saying, hey, I made one sale, you know. It also promotes self-assurance and awareness of your importance in the, you know, the big landscape of things. So anytime you might get discouraged and say, oh, you know, should I really do this or am I really making a difference, you know, the yellow topaz, you know, will help fortify you and say, yes, you know, what I'm doing is very important. And the last one I would recommend is red aventuring quartz. And this is kind of an interesting association in my ebook because I associate with the Five of Pentacles. And in tarot, Five of Pentacles a lot of times is like a down-and-out card, poverty or going through that hard times, being on the outside looking in. But I associated the stone itself with the things that could help with that, which I think are really good for business. It helps one to express their needs. So if someone comes to you, you know, it will help them open up their energetic field to express what they really need so that you can help them better. Because sometimes, you know, people's like, well, I'm not sure what I need. I just feel this or that, you know. So the red aventurine will also, you know, help your customers express their needs and say what they really need and, you know, and be more clear with you. But also it encourages generosity and it makes one hearty, hopeful, and courageous. And it also promotes understanding and curiosity towards your fellow humans. And I think, you know, especially with online businesses, which are really booming right now since most of us are staying home, what separates successful businesses from not so successful ones is how you treat a customer and your track record with things like shipping and customer satisfaction, being willing to listen, how helpful you are, going above and beyond. And so that Areta Venturing also helps with promoting understanding and curiosity towards your fellow humans. So also that stone will help you stimulate your curiosity and perhaps ask something of your customer, you know, take them in a way that's more aligned with their soul, but they don't realize it, and they might say, oh, wait, yeah, you know, come to think of it, and then they share more, and then that, you know, will increase the targeting for the healing and getting the right crystal to do the right thing and what have you. So, yeah, that was what I would recommend. The yellow topaz, six of wands, the emperor, the fuchsia, the mica, and the one I associate with the five of pentacles, the red adventuring quartz. What about you, Mary, what would you recommend for her to focus on for her continued success?
Those are all good. I like those.
I know.
Like yours. You know, when I think about it, like what do I really use that I feel like help support my business and what would be good for the kind of business she's doing? You know, the first thing that comes to mind for me is Tiger Eye. Because it's like I feel like it really helps us kind of bring together, you know, our goals and our intention and resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of, you know, a crystal business is like you really got to have a good pipeline of resources. You know, you got to be able to get
true.
The good deals to get to the people. And, you know, for whatever reason, Moss Agate pops into my head. And it's a great stone. It's a stone I associate with, like, you know, health and wealth and abundance. And also, you know, there's something about it that I feel like it's like optimism, like something I associate. And I think that optimism is kind of important, you know, in
Absolutely.
When we're in a business like that. And then also, I would say like lapis lazuli or sodalite, because, you know, communication is going to be so key to that, you know, and people trust it, you know, the way you express yourself, the way, and I guess, you know, with an online business is kind of what you would be writing. But, you know, just that idea of being able to, you know, communicate with people and, you know, express the things you want to express in a way that can get across to people.
Absolutely.
And being, you know, kind of direct. So those are the ones I would say. And then, I mean, there's this part of me that says, like, no matter what, you always have to have a piece of spirit quartz around. You know, because there's just something of, it's great at bringing people together and really like giving a sense of like harmony.
It's funny you said that because I associated Three of Cups with lapis and along with tarot, and that's those three people, you know, the three women with the cups, which is friendship and sociability. It encourages honesty and dignity and helps, you know, one tell and accept the truth. So it's almost like a party atmosphere too. So, you know, if it's a fun place to shop, you know, people are more likely to spend money. And it's funny too that you said Tiger's Eye, because I associate that with Eight of Wands, which is not only sharpening the senses and helping maintain an overview of things when they're happening fast, but it also aids in case you have overwhelming external influences, if you have a deluge of messages or opportunities. And so, you know, if her business is going to be picking up, you know, boy, that Tiger's Eye will, because it's a yellow stone too, will not only help her third chakra self-esteem, but help her deal with incoming, you know,
yeah,
businesses or inquiries or messages. Right, yeah. I think if she took all the stones that we just advised her with, man, she's going to be rocking, literally.
It's like, whoa. Seriously. I think, you know, there's a lot to choose from. Like, and really, like, my advice would be, like, all of them. You need all of them. You know? Use them all.
It's like with someone, well, which tarot card am I? You're all of them.
You're all of them at different times. And, oh, don't even get me started. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's really important to a lot of people, and I know we've done shows on it and all this stuff, but like the birth card tarot thing, the tarot birth cards, it just
bothers me. Me too. Oh my God. Let's have a bitch session.
Can we bitch about this ridiculous, you know, idea. Like,
oh,
I know,
God.
It's not ridiculous. I know all these really, you know, important people think a lot of it, but I just feel like, what does this do for me? This does nothing for me, you know?
It doesn't. And the thing is
right?
Humans came up with the order of the deck. So humans came up with the number. And so you're going to extrapolate this. You're going to try to define your whole year by saying, I'm in a hermit year. You know, you have already put limits on your year, whether you realize it or not, just by calling it a blank year. And, it, and it pisses me off, too, quite frankly. I saw some tarot person's going to be doing, you know, some kind of teaching. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, you know, you know, on the upcoming tarot card of the year for 2021. I'm like, this is so such full of shit again, you know. I mean, forgive me, but it's like, come on. It's like, no, that's not true.
It's limiting. It's limiting,
it is.
You know. It's like, oh, well, I'm the death card, so I'm going to be in constant transition, you know, like, what? You know, everything's going to change constantly. And it's like, well, everything kind of changes anyways, but do I have to carry that on my shoulders all the time?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I guess, you know.
And not only that, let's say you say, okay, it's going to be a Wheel of Fortune year. You're going to constantly be bracing yourself for chaos.
Here we go.
If in fact, every day you think, oh, wow, and I have to remember, this is a Wheel of Fortune year, well, guess what? You're going to be taken on the merry-go-round more than you want to. Because you have consciously, what you focus on is what you get more of. Now, I'm not one of those people that say, okay, if something bad happens to you, it's because you asked for it, you focus on. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is, nine times out of ten, what you focus on is what expands. It's like driving a car. You know, you look at that electrical pole on the side, and guess where your car is going to end up driving? But if you keep your eyes on the road, you'll stay on the road. And so to me, you know, doing something like a yearly card or birth card bullcrap, you're basically letting somebody else a road sign, and you're saying, okay, yeah, I'll go with that, and yeah, okay, that'll be my energy. And you basically, with herd mentality, just, you know, created this energetic field around this one card's energy. And yes, you will manifest a lot of that stuff, too. It's like, good luck, you know. I would rather take my day as the day comes. You know, I think there's a verse in the Bible that says, every day has enough trouble of its own. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. You know, you wake up for the day, and you look through the tarot card deck, and you say, you know, how do I want to feel today? And like I said, if you want to say, okay, how you do feel, you know, it is important to acknowledge where you're at and what you're feeling, because you have to own it before you grow from it or before you go beyond it. But yeah, this external, you know, thing, it's like, no, you're letting someone else control your life. You really are.
Yeah.
And the more that people enforce it, the more – it's almost like a tulpa. Do you know what a tulpa is?
Tulpa.
A tulpa is
no.
A really interesting concept. It's a thought form on a big scale. In fact, there was this woman who wrote a book called Magic and Mystery in Tibet. And I can't remember what her name is. Let me go ahead and look it up. But she created a person out of her thought form, and she did it on purpose. She kept saying, okay, I imagine that, you know, I'm going to have this little helper and this guy. Oh, Alexandra David Neal. Alexandra David Neal was this amazing woman who did a lot of work in Tibet. She was like shamanistic. She hung out with these people. And she actually created a being, a thought form that people could see, and it was called a tulpa. And in Tibetan spirituality, there's something called a tulpa, and then there's something called a tulka. But anyway, a tulpa is a thought form that is created when a person or enough people concentrate their energy on it. And that's why you see certain political phenomenons, why you see it looks like mass delusion, or you see mob mentality. You're basically creating an energetic thought form and tulpas, okay? But some people have actually physically created even people and beings. Some say the golem of Jewish mysticism is a form of a tulpa.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I feel the same thing is true when you get a bunch of tarot people together and you say, oh, okay, this is going to be this kind of card of the year. Okay, you get all these people focusing that energy, believing it, acting in accordance with it, waking up, acknowledging it, and it just gets stronger and stronger. And then so what you're going to end up doing is manifesting the energy of that card, perhaps at the exclusion of other cards. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, you're going to be in a straitjacket because of it, but I think you're really limiting energetically what the universe has for you and what your soul wants to experience because you are on someone else's agenda. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're stuck with it, you know, and that's what's always sort of bothered me about the concept. And I think it's much more valuable if, you know, if you take the time and, you know, look at it after the fact. You know, what kind of year was it? You know, what energies did you experience? What cards did you go through? Because otherwise, it's sort of like, to me, I guess the biggest thing is that it's kind of the opposite of like sort of the golden rule. And what I consider the golden rule when it comes to divination is nothing set in stone. So once you say, this is your card of the year, you've set it in stone. You put this finite thing there and, you know, or your birth card. It's like, oh, my God, my entire life, really? These two cards?
Well, if not in stone, you've at least put a couple fences around yourself, you know, and sure you can bust through them if you change your mind and stuff, but the longer you focus on it and the longer you buy into it, the stronger the belief system becomes. And then it becomes harder to to be flexible.
Yeah, and open, you know.
Yeah.
Be open to what the year is going to bring, to what your
which
life
brings
is
us
going
back to
bring.
Right, which is brings us back to the rose quartz, because I would say of all the stones, rose quartz is the one that promotes the most openness, especially the heart chakra, but openness in general. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree with that, and I agree with it, especially because I think the heart is the key to it all. I mean, I tend to think of it that way, and I also, you know, and it's that thing too, just of how much, you know, just physically, medically, how much the heart is involved in everything, you know,
and
the energy you know, you can detect from it, you know, is far-reaching, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's
like the
body.
And the Heart Math Institute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard of the Heart Math Institute.
I have heard of it. And I think that's the thing is that, you know, your heart stops beating, you know, it's kind of a problem. You know, I think of it that way too. it doesn't matter how balanced your root chakra is if your heart isn't working. You know, it's like,
exactly. And also how your emotions and your stress level and your attitudes affect your heart. That's what heart math's about. I mean, for like 25 years, they're doctors, the medical doctors researching, you know, the heart brain connection. And how the heart, you know, and our attitudes influence perceptions, emotions, intuition. It's connected.
And
it is really connected.
Yeah. And healing. You know.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's kind of, you know, the number one thing. So I love that. But my gosh, this hour just flew by. I had so much fun talking to you. I feel like we could go on for three more hours because there's like so much to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This was really a lot of fun. And I hope you'll come back.
Thank you for having me. Oh, anytime you want me on there.
Awesome. And put out, you know, please let everybody know. Also, you've got a new podcast. Where do they find it? What's the name of it? Let them know where they can keep up with you.
Well, my home base is janetboyer.com, but if you go to sayitwithtarot.com, that's my blog, but it's also the name of my podcast, and I also put my podcast episodes on there, but you can also find them on my YouTube channel, YouTube/Janet Boyer. It's called Say It With Tarot. You can even do it with, I almost said her name. That Amazon device that you awake, and it sounds like Odessa. We actually call her Odessa around here, so we don't set her off. But if you can actually even play it through Odessa if you say, Odessa, play, say it with Tarot Podcast, except you have to say the right wake word. But I'm not going to do it because my Odessa's right beside me. She'll start chattering up a storm. So, yeah, it's Say It With Tarot. And I have a couple podcasts up, and I'm going to be doing more. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun as well.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming on. And everybody, find your podcast, go to the website, keep up with Janet Boyer. Keep up with her and buy the book, Crystal Healing with Tarot. I bought it. You guys can buy it too.
It's only $2.99.
Yeah, come on. You're welcome.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye for now. Oh, my gosh. That was so much fun. And before we go, I want to let everybody know what is coming up on the Psychic Talk Radio Network this week. So you can keep up with all our shows. Our next show is going to be on Monday, December 7th. Can you believe it's December 7th already? Ah, it's Pearl Harbor Day on Monday, December 7th. 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern is the Wisdom of the Soul show with your host, Janice Fuchs. And after that, our next show is on Wednesday, December 9th. And it's the Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance Hour with your host, Catherine Hahn. She's going to be doing her December series of episodes, 2020 Reflections. So you can kind of reflect back on 2020 with Catherine on Wednesday. And then on Friday, the doctors are in with host Dr. Rose Wilkerson and Dr. Dax Carlisle. They're going to be doing open lines, life coaching, and tarot mini readings, and talking about 21 ways to create a great year in 2021. We all want to do that. And then I'll be back next Saturday with my co-host Dr. Dax Carlisle on the Tarot Today show, and we're going to be talking about working with spiritual helpers in your tarot readings, plus doing open lines tarot and tarot mini readings as well. We'll be taking your calls. I'm sorry I didn't get to everybody's calls today, but I usually don't when I have a guest, but all our shows for the most part do take calls and do open lines and mini readings. And so be sure to check out our shows, call into those shows as well. You can find that list of upcoming shows on psychictalk.net too, and there the whole list will be there, and it's always updated. If something changes, you never know, it could, but I doubt it will. I think you can pretty much depend on what's listed on that page. And also, again, shout out to our Facebook group, Psychic Talk Radio on Facebook. Again, if you haven't, you want to join the group, you go to psychictalk.net/Facebook, where you can like our page and join our group and join in the fun. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. My goodness, I have to hit that page again and see there's just like a lot of comments in there. It looks like a lot of people having a lot of fun. Really enjoyed Janet today, didn't we? We do need to have her back. But for now, that's it for me. I hope all of you have a wonderful weekend and a great week. And I will see you guys. We'll hear you guys Saturday. Bye-bye, everybody.